say thank you to Susan of Silver Spring, Maryland. You all are beautiful this morning. We appreciate you. And some folks became sustaining members today. You can do that, $10, $20, $50, $100, $500, whatever is in your wallet and heart to do on a monthly basis. Consider that. 800-222-9739, WPFWSN.org. Keep the donations coming as we move into the collision. Sports and politics. This is WPFW Washington.
This is a journey.
About it.
I don't want to be like Mike.
Say what you say, say what?
I don't want to be like Mike.
Before Magic's knees go permanently south for the winter.
I don't want to be like Mike.
Changing up the guard quicker than fear brings down doo-doo. Bro.
He never saw Elgin Baylor play during his day or Oscar Robinson.
Flash the dice roll back. The big O was jackknifing through all them bodies.
I didn't know nothing about it.
Jazz and Justice, WPFW 89.3 FM in D.C. and WBAI in New York City. This is Chuck Modiano. I'll start with the bad news again. We're going to not be with Akon Thomas. We're not going to be with Dave Zirin, and I'm going to give you that great reason in a minute. And the good news is we have Coach McNutt with us on the line. How are you, Coach?
Doing well, my brother. How are you?
It's mixed. It's mixed. And I'm going to get to that. It's a mixed bag right now because we have a lot to talk about. Right. And before I give that lineup, let me just give the good reason Mr. Zirin won't be with us because he was apologizing and not being able to be on the show because he is going to visit Mumia Abu-Jamal. I didn't even ask him if I should share this, so I hope I don't get in trouble. But I think it's important that, he has visited him in the past and uplifting his voice. And amongst all the other things of being a freedom fighter about Mumia, people forget he was also a journalist. People forget he was also holding police to account in the 1970s. And that is in part a large reason that he has been locked up for decades and treated in a way that is attempting to kill him. And there is medical neglect. So I can't think of a better reason for Dave not to be on this show than to go speak to Mumia. And in these times when you have, police roaming the street, particularly in D.C. in similar ways, I wanted to uplift that. And let me give you a lineup of what we're really going to talk about today. So we're going to start off a little bit with Trump's fascist goons in D.C. and Trump's attempt for a federal D.C. takeover. And then we'll move to more sports things. So, we do have a football season upon us. We're going to talk a little bit about gambling and pro sports. We're going to talk a little about Jaden Daniels. If we have time, we'll get to some more WNBA. And we're going to do all of those things. And I may even, Coach, ask you a little about Oscar Robertson and the activists because we got cut off last time. We gave him short shrift after the ESPYs and his activism. So I have that on my mind, and I wouldn't want to, waste your insight on that. For sure. But Coach, I'm going to start with a few announcements. I'm going to get a few announcements out of the way, because there's so much going on in D.C. right now. And I don't just mean Trump. I mean people fighting back, people saying we're not going to have this. So
before you do this, I want the people to understand, Chuck, just who you are. I've given you the name, and Dave didn't give it to you yesterday, the nickname, Chuck Street Beat Moniano. So I want everybody to know, man, you are on the street and you know what's going on. So these announcements, man, don't say this is something you just got off the internet and something like that. You are on the street. You are a source. So well, do your thing.
I get sent the flyers, and after this show, I'm going to be on the street. You'll understand why after I make these announcements. So
thank you, sir.
We are third week of a media encampment at 400 North Capitol. We had a Hazami on We the People yesterday, who's been really leading that effort. And that is an effort to hold the media accountable, that there's a phrase that you'll hear that if I start the sentence and say every time the media lies, then people know it's a neighborhood in Gaza dies. And the media is complicit. So there's been noise demonstrations and whatnot. That has been for 3 weeks. So at any time between 10 a.m. to 10 p.m., you want to visit 400 North Capitol, you will see people there. That is continuing into its third week. I also want to say I got a notice through someone saying from DMHHS scheduled encampment cleanup. It could be happening as soon as right now that we're on the air. That's by D.C., but in many ways, you know, D.C. is capitulating to Trump's demands of unhoused encampment cleanup. We don't know where that's going to be, but we know there's been an announcement. I saw physically the announcement with my own eyes. So, you know, to be on the lookout for that. And those encampment cleanups have never gone well. They're not something, oh, let me make sure that you're properly housed and let's make sure we have a great meeting with a social worker. It doesn't really go down like that. Belongings get stolen, ID gets stolen, belongings get trashed. So that might happen today. Also want to make an announcement. We spent a good amount of time talking about Chris Smalls last week, and Chris Smalls, who came back from the Freedom Flotilla, a black man known as the Amazon union activist, activist against Amazon, who started the first union against Amazon. But was I mentioned black man because he was the only one who was violently attacked by Israel as part of the 21 people on the Handela who were part of that Freedom Flotilla. So we were happy he made it back. But he is going to be in D.C. tonight at Bus Boys and Poets at 6 p.m., 14th and V Street location. 6 p.m. he is going to be speaking. So I want, if folks are interested in seeing Chris and talking to him, that's Bus Boys and Poets at 6 p.m., 14th and V. And at that same time, you know, we have so much going on, particularly this week. There are multiple things. So as that's happening, there's also a hands-off D.C. community control of public safety tonight. That's DMV PACA. That's 06 to 8:30, Franklin Square Park, 1332 I Street. So you'll have friends from Black Alliance for Peace there, Malcolm X Grass Movement there. And every night there's been something. There's been trainings on how to deal with police, Know Your Rights trainings. Free D.C. and Harriet's Wildest Dreams have taken a role in that. And I think, you know, with everything that's going on, you know, maybe what we're going to start a lot of future shows with these announcements, so you could get connected within the community. And then the last announcement I will make is that there is a huge march against what is happening in Gaza, Free Gaza, in New York City. And their buses from New York City, I think it's 6:30 in the morning, that are going there. So there's going to be a massive march in New York City. Normally it's the other way around. Normally the buses come here. It's going there. Massive march in New York City Saturday. That's a 6:30 in the morning. And maybe by the end of the show, I'll give you that location, because it's escaping me right at this moment. So that's a lot. And I've missed a lot. I'm telling you, every single day, their organization protesting. Shout out to Free DC, their press conferences. There are the people. And we're going to have to rely on the people we're going to have move forward. So that was probably the longest announcement list I've ever given. Don't you think, Coach?
I love a street beat. I love it.
Okay. So, you know, let's move to sort of what everyone's talking about. We are a DC station here. And, you know, there's a fascist in office. His name is Donald Trump. And let me just set this up. President Donald Trump said on Wednesday, and it hurts me to say President Donald Trump, but President Donald Trump said on Wednesday that he will seek more federal control of Washington, D.C. police force as he continues his efforts to ramp up crime enforcement in the nation's capital. Earlier this week, Trump announced his plans to deploy the National Guard troops in the nation's capital, declaring a public safety emergency in order to put Washington Police Department under federal control and station the National Guard on the city's streets. Trump's current control of D.C. police forces expires in 30 days, after which Congress will have to weigh in. Asked Wednesday whether he'd work with Congress to extend the emergency authorization, allowing him to temporarily seize control, Trump said he'll ask Congress for a long-term extension of federal authority over the Washington police force. So this is where we are. And the backdrop to that is crime is historically down in Washington, D.C. So from my perspective, it sounds like you're trying to deflect from a genocide you are committing, from Jeffrey Epstein files, and from a whole host of other bad media. And why not go to the Southern Strategy itself? Why not blame Black people? Why not turn your attention that way? It's worked well historically, and that's still happening. But I'm going to stop there, Coach, because, Coach, you're not just a coach. You're not just somebody who has mentored and helped so many young people. You're a longtime Washingtonian. You have on the ground experience, you know, whether that's seeing Elgin Baylor live in the 60s or seeing the police force all around the city. So I'm going to pause there. I said a lot. Coach, what are your thoughts when you hear this?
I'm in pain, my brother. I'm in deep pain on several fronts. I'm gonna take it from this way. I'm gonna take it from an optics thing and try to stay cool and calm and collected here. Although I got a lot of emotion, because I'm a big optics cat, and I'm seeing it taking it from a different tone. I'm dealing with the racism of all of this. Look, we knew this was coming. I remember watching Trump's acceptance speech at the GOP convention. Now, what you say, why would I watch it? Because I knew he would go off script because he can't contain himself. And sure enough, he said this, and I quote, Street Beat, Washington, D.C. is a killing field. Tourists can't come to this city without being robbed, shot, or killed, end quote. So we knew this was coming. I half joked at that at the time that I said, look here, he's going to have ID checkpoints at all the main arteries into the town. New York Avenue, Connecticut Avenue, Georgia Avenue, and the bridges, 14th Street and the Wilson Bridge. And at that time, but did I not know what was coming? You know what I'm saying? Then his test pilot program was L.A. with his Black female mayor, Karen Bass. Right. And she warned us then that this was practice for other urban cities like D.C., Baltimore, New York, and Chicago. But like expecting a Cat 5 hurricane or the death of someone who's in hospice care, you are never quite ready to deal with it. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And here I go. And this is where I am.
And Street I want to elaborate on something. Go ahead. You're still going. Go.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm still going. You cut me off, and I know.
Oh, I ain't cutting you off. I thought you paused.
No. I to collect myself. I don't want to ramble on too strong here. And I know we got to go to Katia for the fun drive too. I have lived in and raised my children in the DMV over 6 years. I've been in this town since 1963. Now I'm out in Prince George's, but I'm a Washingtonian. Trump has employed and perpetuated every racist and negative image and stereotype about Black men and women since we brought and changed this country. That's what I feel about. That's why I'm at now. In front of the world, and keep this in mind, of the world, I'm going to tie that into what I'm saying here. He has characterized us as deviant, prone to violence, dirty and filthy, uncivilized, dangerous, incapable of following directions, incompetent of taking care of ourselves, devoid of leadership, and desperately in need of the help, direction, guidance of the white man to survive as law-abiding citizens of this city and country. I mean, the optics, visualize this one here. And this one really struck me flush. You got blue-eyed blonde Pam Bondi, who couldn't find Southeast with a GPS, meeting with Mary Bowser, and making the mayor look like she's a second grader being escorted to her classroom on her first day of school. You know, that's what's happening right now. I can only say I heard. And dig this, and watch this. I'm gonna tie, because we are sports and politics, I'm gonna tie this in. I've got friends and people that I talk to, and they will fight you, argue to the ground about homegrown talent, about the Washington, the teams, the colleges, Georgetown, Maryland, and about the athletes. You know, we have this break, this debate about New York got the best point guards. Well, no, D.C. got the best point guards. People will fight you with that, and they go mute and silent and crickets on this subject. I don't understand that, you know? And I guess I love my city. That's one. I live by racial pride and ethnic value. So that, you know, that's two and three. So this is the triple crown for me. And I'm sorry, I'm going long here.
Keep going.
Yeah. And of course we know what this is all about. You already touched on it. This is another Trump's TV show. This is The Apprentice on steroids. Mm. I mean, he's going to have troops, and we know this. He's going to have troops in Georgetown, the Gold Coast, the monuments and museum, the tourist district, restaurants on K and L Street, and of course Capitol Hill. But it's all smoke and mirrors, like you mentioned. This is all on the national morning news shows. I just watched them just to see where things are right now. Epstein wasn't even mentioned. It's back page news. And right now, mission accomplished for him. But for now, it's going to change. Listen here, Street Beat. I travel this city on early Saturday morning. Sometimes, you know, I walk in the mornings, but sometimes I just get in a car and no destination of mine. I just start driving. I love the city that much. And from far southeast, over to by Baloo High School, to Berry Farms, to Langston Terrace, to Brooklyn, up Georgia Avenue, et cetera, et cetera. And I see the growth in beautiful homes and revamped neighborhoods. And it's a major source of pride and accomplishment, although we ain't the color of choice that can afford these in a lot of cases, but I'm still a Washingtonian at heart. And watch this, I'm gonna finish with this. And here is the tie to him saying this to the world. Washington, D.C. is the capital of the United States. And when he goes out and says these things, it resonates. And our international community sees and hears these things, and they take some of this stuff to heart. I'm going to give you a story. I'm out on this one. In the late 1980s and early 1990s, when D.C. was called the murder capital of the U.S., and it was, I mean, it was 400, you know, deaths to violence. During this time, me and my wife went to London. I'm not gonna get into why we did. I went a trip, and anyway, after visiting Buckingham Palace or Big Ben or something, we go into a souvenir shop. Okay, dig where I'm coming from here. The clerk asked where we were from. I said, Washington, D.C. He says, I know about D.C. I said, oh, yeah, you do? What do you know? And he proceeds to point his fingers in a gun, like guns, and saying, bang, bang. And I, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, I didn't find it funny, one, because I'm in D.C. and I got great pride and love in my city. You know what I'm saying? And I'm saying, that's how, when Trump goes on and says all this crazy stuff, matter of fact, I understand he might have said, I haven't been able to confirm it before the show, but I understand he might have said that we are a third world nation today. I think on X last night or this morning. So I'm hurting, man. I'm sorry. Thanks for the time, man. I'll get out and give it back to you, but I'm hurting deeply.
Well, there's a lot to hurt, be heard about, you know, when you hear this, and, you know, certainly that story resonates. And, you know, it's interesting because this, what Trump is doing, he's employing a long-term Southern strategy tactic that, you know, Nixon sort of grew to power. I don't necessarily start with Nixon. Nixon really blew this up. And, you know, right wing has used this tactic, and it's worked very well over the years. You know, when there's this problem, when people aren't paying attention, go to your base and exploit racism, exploit racial fears, amongst white people. It doesn't matter if the crime rate is up. It doesn't matter if the crime rate is down. It is a tried and true Southern strategy. And nobody, I mean, even better than Nixon, nobody employs that with more viciousness and with more blatancy than Donald Trump. So he's taken a strategy that's been used for years. George Bush II famously, George Bush I famously used the Willie Horton ads to get him out of the situation. So there's a history here. But my God, is he blatant with it and manages to change the narrative overnight. Trump is brilliant at changing media narratives. That because the media will follow him no matter what and what he says. And sadly, I'd have to say, you know, if we just look at the facts, the Democrats have not been the party that is going to really go out and stop him. You mentioned L.A. And this started really in L.A. under the umbrella of ICE raids. Mm-hmm. And what all of us have been saying is, because some people get it confused, that there's no distinction between these ICE raids there and what is happening to Black D.C. now. And if you want to take it internationally, or what is happening in Gaza, because all of the police chiefs go to Palestine and learn how to train, that we're looking at an international police network, an international militarized police state, and you can't pick and choose what you're against. And this is the situation that we are in. I have seen a couple of videos, watched a couple of videos. Coach, I don't know if you saw these videos, but I saw a video yesterday where they were harassing, MPD and others were harassing young Black people and said, hey, what are you doing?
Yes, I saw it.
You saw it. We're looking for people who are smoking or drinking with open containers. Like this is what we're talking about. There's a history of stop and frisk, but we're seeing it on video now. So, what's your reaction when you see a video like that?
I can't say on this venue, but
under FCC guidelines. And then I'm gonna turn it to Katia on that note.
Yeah, we gotta get to my sister here. But first of all, I wanted to know where it was. I think they said it was at 14th and U. Corridor, but you know, and he came by, and he was a gentleman-like, and the young man said, no, I don't know anything about, you know, which I don't know how he could not know, but yeah, it was almost like, it was condescending and irritating and insulting to me, because the commentator after that segment said, well, you know, a lot of people are saying on social media that the officer was so polite and gentlemanlike, get out of here.
Right.
You know, so back to you on that one.
Back. So Katia, I know you've been waiting to move in here. It is on a fun drive time. So how do you feel, Katia?
Well, I'm here. Can you all hear me? I just want to make sure. Very good. Hey, Coach. It's so good to hear your voice.
Same with you.
And Street Beat, we love you. You know, that's what I'm going to call you from now on.
There it is.
That works.
Katia, we got Magic Mike and we got Street Beat.
And we got Street Beat. Exactly.
I don't have a name for Zyron yet.
We'll come up with one. Absolutely. Anytime, you know. But we have some folks to thank already. We want to say Anonymous out of D.C. I'm not quite understanding the message, but I will read it. Attention, Verna Avery Brown. Thanks for reaching out. Maybe they alerted, maybe Verna alerted them to your show this morning. Good move, Verna. Thank you. And also Lenore Winters, tried and true donor here at WPFW. She says today's show is especially important. And so we thank you both very much. We have $575 to go. We can do that together, 800-222-9739. WPFWFM.org are the ways to connect. We exceeded the goal so beautifully last week. We want to do the same this week, especially since we know our dear brother Dave Zyron is on his way to see Mumia Abu-Jamal. And this is Black August. This would be a perfect time to do a donation in the name of Mumia Abu-Jamal, the long distance freedom fighter for sure. So 800-222-9739. Let's do a pledge in honor of all the young people, particularly Black people, Black young men being harassed right now. Let's remember them and lift them up by donating to the media outlet that is going to tell you about that harassment. And not only that, the media outlet will that will have their voices on our air to talk about how they felt in that moment. So we're not going to leave it to a reporter to spin a story, to guide a story. We're going to hear from the people themselves who are being most impacted by, as Coach said, this racist occupation of DC. 800-222-9739. That's what your dollars do. It brings you The Collision every Thursday morning, speaking truth about power. 800-222-9739, WPFWFM.org. $575 to go. We can do this together, folks. We got the A-team. We got Coach and Street Beat. What more do you need? You know what I'm saying? I mean, with all due respect to Dave and Eton, what more do we need right now? And they are speaking truth to power. And, you know, the anecdotal information that Coach is giving as a Washingtonian, as someone who raised his family in this city, is critical to understanding what is happening right now. And of course, the reporting that Chuck does, he's everywhere all at once. I don't even know, literally running from the encampment to the rally to this, mm-hmm. that. Mm-hmm. And then in the midst of all that, confronting those that are holding up the system, you know? So we have to applaud that. We have to support that which supports you. $575 to go, 800-222-9739, WPFWFM.org. Gentlemen, I'm going to throw it back to you, and I look forward to coming back and with you all thanking folks on the other side of this next segment, if I may.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
And the, on the back half, we're gonna hit sports. I got a couple extra thoughts. I have a couple of extra thoughts that I have to get out. And you know, when I was at the noise demonstration, the media encampment that I spoke about at 400 North Capitol earlier in this week, I never connected with Katia. I turn around, Katia is right there.
All right.
So like even we don't coordinate, we're bumping into each other, which it's just great to work at a with a station who you know, things like that could happen. I want to mention one more thing, and this is, you know, the media person in me, because I checked my Twitter this morning. I call it Twitter because I don't let Elon Musk tell me what to say and how to define it. So people correct me, and I'm like, no, Elon's in your head. Now, there's someone I follow. Her name's Dr. Allison Wilkes, and I love her feed. And she posted a video this morning of a young Black man filming the police.
Mm-hmm.
And I film the police all the time, right? And they attack him. First, you see a cop who is holding the pepper spray, and they attack him, and they all jump on him, and they all beat him. I personally, and this is MPD, by the way, I personally have been that close as this young Black man. I've been that close many times. And MPD is notoriously anti-media, whether they're under Trump control or not. It doesn't matter. They operate this way. And they would often back me up a block, sometimes a full block out of view. They would curse and yell, get out of here, da-da, you want to be arrested, da-da-da. But they never jumped on me. And they never tackled me. And they never started beating on me. And I've seen this before. And while this young man may not be a regular photographer, he was exercising his First Amendment right, and he's filming. And I have a colleague who's a friend who is filming the 2020 George Floyd uprising, and he's a young Black man, and they all knew him, and he was filming the whole time. They all knew he was media, and they still arrested him, not his white colleague who's also filming. I'd say his name. I don't know if he wants me to say his name. And there's a history here, and so much so that our footage was able to show the disparity. He was able to win a lawsuit. So I really hope this young man sues, and I really hope we get in touch with him and connect to other people, because even as independent media, and even as, you know, what we're doing has some level of danger, there's privilege. When I'm out there, there is privilege. They don't do that to me. So when I see them attacking media, it's crazy. And not only that, we have to fight back. But these right wingers that I see and they're applauding, they're so stupid. Do they not know the police state's coming from them next? Do they not know that? And I don't think they do, but it will. The police state does not diminish. It only increases. So, you know, if we're talking about media, We have to talk about privilege in media, and then we have to, you know, make sure that we pair up in certain ways, and we're very smart. I'm not going to go into that because, you know, Harriet's Wildest Dreams and 3DC does trainings just on that, and we might want to connect with that training. So I'm going to pause there, and before we hit sports, I want to see if you have any last thoughts on this matter, Coach.
No, I like your take. I just, you know, 6 decades, man, I give to D.C. and the DMV, man, and I just can't get enough of this now, and I got a release. So all you're saying about, you know, getting on the streets, protests, is not, you say, what can we do? You mentioned Congress in the next 30 days. We know that Congress is going to be a rubber stamp. So yeah, whether he needs their authority or not, it's this thing's going to extend beyond 30 days. So I'm with you on everything we need to do, you know, getting out and screaming to the highest mountaintop, and marching and whatever it takes. And, you know,
yeah,
I'm a senior citizen, but that's okay. Yeah. The fight has to continue. Yeah. So
back then, and that could be marching, that could be boycotts. We have a lot of boycotts going on. That could be direct action. That could be a whole host of tools to use that are going on, mutual aid. There are many things. There's community policing. I've seen Cop Watch go on as well. There, we saw that happen in L.A. where people said, no, get out of here. They surrounded ICE and they kicked them out. We saw that as well. There's a whole array of tools. So I think that's where we're at. I believe if you look at the Democratic history, we can't rely on them. If you start looking at the votes and how people vote, I'll give you just one example, and we've talked about this a lot. 75 Democrats recently signed a resolution in June, applauding Trump for his ICE deployment. 75 Democrats applauded him in a resolution. So let's be clear of that, the space we're in, that moving forward, it's going to be from the people. We've seen too much complicity. We've seen too much capitulation, one or the other. And with that, We're going to lighten it up a little bit. Okay. We're going to lighten it up a little bit. We're going to move to some sports. Okay. We're going to talk a little about gambling and sports. Yeah. I know you have some thoughts on Jaden Daniels as we start the new season. But let me talk. There's been a lot about gambling and sports, right?
We've
talked about it so much on this show. Dave has talked about it. Dave has warned about this for years. On this show, it used to be taboo, and now it's okay. It's celebrated. You could go on ESPN, and they have their own app, Bet on Our app. Meanwhile, we're supposed to give you unfiltered news. When you see all this, what is your take, Coach?
Understand. I've been a referee for 30 years. Right. So I've been on that, you know, the cat calls of you're cheating. You know what I mean? You're bought and paid for it. And I'm talking about, and this is at high school, AAU, as well as some college that I've ref. So I, like the DC thing here, I take that personally, because it's always the referees are cheating. And then, you know, in the pro games and you know, the refs are in on a point spread. They know the point spread. They're going to make it happen with their foul calls. Because we have a lot of influence, no doubt. You understand? So, and then the book came out with, oh my goodness.
Tim Donaghy?
Yeah, Tim Donaghy, which I read, and I know Tim. And Tim was linked to...
you know Tim?
Yeah, I know Tim, and I know his best friend at the time is a D.C. referee. We grew up together.
Scott Foster?
Scott Foster. Scott Foster's a D.C. cat.
He gets a lot of heat. Go ahead.
Yes. But Scott and I started at the same time, and he was a golden child. Scott is excellent, and I think he's the best referee in the NBA. So we grew up together. We referee balls. I was going in a different direction. He was going on to the league, and he made it. So I take it personal, and now I see it. You know, you have all these. It's so easy now, Chuck. I'm retired from school system, but the kids have it on their phones with, you know what I mean? And they can just make bets. I know janitors and counselors and others that they on their phone, they just making bets. Prop bets need to be banished, first of all. And what is happening, and the thing that's going to happen, Bickerstaff said it, that people have gotten his number and have called him to after games and saying, you're the reason why I lost. You didn't play such and such. If you left him in the game and all of that. And he said, how did they get my number? And then just yesterday, the cat that was at Denver, now you got traded. Porter. Porter was saying, has brother who's banned from the league, and, you know, saying, hey, man, you know, his boys, you know, get a payday, bet $10,000, and I'll come up lame and bet the under on my point total. And, you know what I mean? It's still wrong, but all this is out there. And he said, and Porter, his older brother still in the league, said, man, it's only a matter of time, which is parroting what Bickerstaff said, before somebody's attacked or hurt off of gambling. And then I want to see what the NBA is going to do, and others, and commissioners.
That's deep what you just said, that somebody's going to be hurt, that players and coaches are harassed for not playing people. You know, it reminds me, I remember last year, the Ravens won a game easily. Well, you know, in this particular game, Lamar Jackson didn't put up incredible numbers. He didn't need to.
Yep.
And people were complaining to him, and he said, listen, I don't care about your parlay.
Right, right.
I don't care about your bets. I care about winning a football game for the Ravens. That's my job. And he did his job. And it is out of control. But I'd be remiss to not tap into your really unique experience as a ref. I also read the Tim Donahue book, which was an eye-opener.
I bet it was.
you know what was an eye-opener for me? I'm going to ask you a question, but the eye-opener for me was when he was talking about how the league was run. Forget anything that's shady. Forget the shady stuff. Forget doing anything illegal. That bias was built into the system itself. That when a ref prolongs, say, a series to make more money, and to make it a sixth and seventh game, regardless of who was playing, that ref was more likely to get more playoff games. When a ref didn't call tight fouls on the superstars, I think what I heard Tim Donahue, he said, is nobody wants to see tight fouls on Kobe or whatever. I'm not picking on Kobe. It's every superstar, right? Every superstar. And they would show these films during the playoffs and say how the refs messed up. And most of those films were how you called something too tight on a superstar. And he said, well, we got the message. We got the message. Don't call tight fouls on Kobe, or I would say, against Kobe. Let today SGA maybe get some calls. And that they have plausible deniability, because when they do these filming sessions, they do it under the guise of referee training. And I was so blown away that without doing anything illegal, without doing anything that looks illegal, they move the refs towards what the league wants. That's what hit me a little bit. And I don't think that got as much attention as the illegal stuff. Am I right about what I'm saying, or am I overstating it?
I can't speak to it at the NBA level. I mean, I read a book like you. There's a lot of stuff saying, well, yeah, the league wants seven games here. The league wants six games because that's another game. That's another, you know, day of another night of commercials and so forth and so on.
But I have a bigger question for you.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Here's the bigger question. You're a ref. And you opened no more. You've been a ref. We know how hard that job is. Right. The worst job, especially in basketball, when two people could disagree on a block and a charge vehemently after they watch the same thing on slow-mo instant replay.
Excellent. But you're
you're a ref. So do you believe this is incentivizing to have more Tim Donahue's?
No. Great question. I just said no, but I got to think through that. That's a great question. The answer is no, because there's so much scrutiny out there, and before it got into prop bets, let the audience understand what a prop bet is. That is where you're taking a particular player and he set a number. Durant's going to score 20 tonight. And you say, okay, I'm a bet that he's going to score less than 20, or I'm going to bet he's going to score over 20. And they go that from rebounds to assists to – this is not just a point spread where are the Wizards going to win by two, more than two, or less than two, or give me the other team. It's got into the prop bets, which is really making a mess of things. So no, it's so much scrutiny because it always was the players weren't cheating. It was the refs that are cheating. So right. Now that everything's national, the spotlight is too bright for the refs. And they watch games. They got the 2-minute report, which is like, you know, after our show, we're gonna have the powers that be here at PFW are going to do a national report on you and me and how we did in the last 5 minutes of the show. It's just crazy.
Right.
But
and they have algorithms, right? Showing betting irregularities.
Yes. Which is one of the good things, but it's policing something that shouldn't be policed because it shouldn't be, we shouldn't be doing it anyway at that level. So no, it's a lot of scrutiny there. And I don't think, so I'm changing my answer. I don't think that no, it's going to promote more Donahue's. No, the spotlight's too bright and the focus is on him too much.
All right, the follow-up question then, which I think you started on. I'm the 12th player on a team.
Yes.
Or I'm the ninth player on the team. I could be cut next year. I might have cut. I might jump in and out. I can make a big payday on a spread. Just me being a sub and underperforming. And I think there have been accusations of this in the past. Do you think it will promote more fixing from that level?
You know, what makes that so interesting is that the money that they're making, I don't understand, you know, with the money they're making, and there's all sorts of forms and warnings and penalties out there. I mean, the NBA, and we don't know NBA, but it's other sports too, but the NBA is not playing with that, man. You know, look at Porter Jr., the other Porter, he's gone.
Right.
And so the consequences are severe. So it confuses me.
Okay.
But I'm losing focus.
It's a tough because I don't want to accuse anything, but I am thinking of and maybe even the sport that you really could focus on is football, because I would argue most football players have lives more like regular people than people think. Once you get past the top 10 salaries, right? They're making minimum wage, and people might say, "Oh, they're making minimum wage," and minimum wage is $1 million or $800,000.
Right.
But the average career is 2.5 years. And many those who make the team, they might be like, this is the only year that I might make this $1 million and this lasts the rest of my life. And they, you know, $500,000 goes to taxes. Right. And I'm thinking, when I think along, you know, those lines, I'm not thinking of the million-dollar athlete. For the most part, the multi-million-dollar athlete, particularly in the NBA where you have guaranteed contracts, unlike NFL, you don't have guaranteed contracts.
Right.
I'm not thinking of them. I'm thinking of the person struggling to stay on a roster and maybe get hit a payday.
Right.
And I don't know the answer, but I don't think this gambling helps out. You're the youth mentor. What is the youth? You were touching on what's the effect and the impact on young people growing up with this in their phone?
It's unhealthy because it's the little disclaimer like on a package of cigarettes, you know what I mean? The surgeon general advised you not to do this. They got a little disclaimer at the end of commercials. Get out of here, man. If you start there at 15 and you have some success and you pat it on the back and you do it this easy and that access and you have, you know, it's a hard thing to pull back from. And getting to the athletes, you know, if you're 12th or 13th man on the bench and you start, first of all, you're playing 5 minutes a game. And so there's not a lot of groundswell for you being in the game because you're on the 12th and 13th man. So if they monitoring this, like you mentioned, so if they see something with $200,000 that 12th man is going to, you know, get less than 5 points, that's red flag. So, and I don't think the players, you know, like you just said, to try to make a big payday or something like that, realize that people are watching that the gambling institution has set up. So you're not going to get away with that. And another part is these are very competitive athletes. They don't see their career ending. They might see 12th man, but next year, you know what I mean? I'm going to be in the rotation. My contract's up. I'm going to the Thunder. I'm going to the Wizards. They're a 20-win team. I'm going to go out there and start. So most of these are very, very competitive men. And I think, but like you said, for youth, a quarterback in Oklahoma, I believe, just got questions about him. So it's even you know permeating down to the college level.
Yeah, that's a great point that you just made. Katia,
I think now's the time, as Charlie Parker said, or played, now's the time, always. We want to thank Ibrahim out of Chantilly. Thank you so much, Ibrahim. Always with us, always doing the good work. We still are in need of $550 this hour, you all. We have 16 minutes to do it, and we don't want to embarrass Chuck and Coach. You know, we don't want to have to tell Dave we did not make this goal this week. The three of us were not able to bring it home. So please help us help you. And I'm being light today and I'm facetious, and these are troubled times. So we're just trying to, you know, center and remember the joy that we have in each other. And I love hearing these two together. I'm sure you do too. I'm sure the collision is appointment listening for many of you. And we ask you to support that which supports you. $550 to go, 800-222-9739, 800-222-9739. You can also go online to WPFWFM.org to make that pledge of support. Please help us knock this out the park today and make this goal. $550, this is the last time the collision gets to come to you during this summer pledge drive. And you know what to do. You know what the mission of WPFW is. You certainly know what the mission of the collision is. It's the collision of sports and politics. That's why there is so much great coverage about what's happening across the globe in terms of marginalized and oppressed peoples. And really, that includes all of us at this point, all of us except the 1%. So the number to call, 800-222-9739. Be in solidarity with WPFW, 800-222-9739. WPFWFM.org are the ways to connect. 550 to go. I want to turn it back to the gentlemen so they can continue with this conversation on sports that I know you want to hear, but we do need to support that which supports you. One more time, and very slowly, as Gustav has told me, is 800-222-9739, or you can go online to WPFWFM.org. 550 to go, and hopefully at the end there'll be some time, and there will be folks, more folks to thank, and we appreciate those who have pledged already.
Yep.
Hey, one more time, Katia. Say the number one more time.
Okay, 800-222-9739. Street Beat understands the mission, so we want you to understand it too. 800-222-9739.
Can't have DZ and Atan coming back like, hey,
that's right.
Yeah. You know what's going on?
Yeah. Knowing DZ, he's gonna say, yeah, Kev, that's why you're on the bench, man. So
take that from him.
I won't, but as he's gonna say it.
That's right. But you know what? I love that Zyron is going to see Mumia, so I'm really looking forward to
hearing about that visit
last time. Just the icon of a journalist. Yep. And I always reroute to journalists because people, you know, forget that at a time where, you know, journalist Anas and 227 journalists are killed in Gaza. We have a long history right here of journalists being imprisoned or trying to expose power, and Mumia is at the center of that. We forget about that. We may remember Julian Assange or something, even though he's not American, but we forget about Mumia. So I always want to uplift him. And now, you know, we have a football season upon us.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you're a big football fan. I know you, like many others, very excited about what we saw from Jaden Daniels last year as a rookie, poised, composed, goes to the finals in the conference finals, which is incredible as a rookie. No one saw that coming.
Right.
How do you feel about Jaden Daniels this year?
You know, I don't put butter on Dave because we don't get along. You know what I'm saying? I love my brother, but I'm putting butter on.
I'm an exception.
Yeah. You accept. I put butter on you, Street Beat. One of the things you used to do, and I catch your show on archives, and you did it last season. Again, so much is happening, like you said, with with everything. You used to rate the quarterbacks and the black quarterbacks and how many there were in the league. And I loved to listen to you that. And I'm like, your emotion and passion and, you know, study for that topic was very informative, and I loved it. But anyway, but speaking of Jaden, this just happened. He was interviewed this week. I forgot what station and all of that. But here's the gist of what he said. He says, I'm not having a lot of fun right now. And I'm paraphrasing, okay, but let's be clear. But I'm quoting this. He said, I'm a introvert. And he said, with all the success we had, there's a lot more people and a lot more demands on my time. And I'm really not, I think he said, I'm not enjoying myself or I'm not having as much fun because I'm an introvert. And, he backed off, saying, I love the fans and all that kind of stuff. But basically, he's an introvert. He's a quiet guy. And which is all the more respect I have for him, man, because how many pro quarterbacks do you think would say something like that? For example, RG me, and I'm saying me as an ME, not RG3, would never say anything like that. You know, and I think I made this comparison when I was on show a couple of weeks ago when he's talking about, you know, what's the Angel Reese controversy. And that's why I like Jaden so much. He said, and he went on to say, you know, I'm a competitor. I want to win. I want the team to do well. Man, I've said that was refreshing. And you know what I mean? Just to hear that from a quarterback that's leading the team. You know what I mean? I mean, that he's an introvert. I don't need the fanfare. I don't need the pats on the back. I don't need people coming to me asking me for an interview while I'm at a dinner. I'm out at a restaurant. I mean, that was refreshing.
That is refreshing. You know, fans don't see athletes as human beings.
Tell the truth.
that we're entitled to have all your time at every moment, not just during the game, but if you're at a restaurant, give me an autograph. You can't have a meal. And if you are quote unquote grateful, and that word grateful always is on steroids when it's a black athlete, right? If you're grateful, then you would do as I say, when I want, when, however I want. And in saying that I'm an introvert, he's reminding people that I'm a human being.
Right.
I'm a very introverted individual. So the spotlight being on me isn't the most fun thing for me. I'm just pulled up the quote that he just said. And I like that because we have to remind fans, we have to remind fans that we're dealing with human beings and we have to respect them as human beings. And not only that, I think what I'm hearing in the subtext is that I could be a better player if I'm allowed to be who I am. You know what I mean?
Wait,
I could even be better.
Yeah.
And he said, it's all love, but sometimes you just want to be a regular guy.
That's a very interesting point that gets lost. You know, they talk about sophomore slumps and thing of what's happened to this guy, especially in golf. A lot of the golfers, you know, they come up, he's going to be the next Tiger. Or he's going to do wonderful. He's going to win majors and majors. And then what happens? They get older. They win a major. Time and demands, man, you aren't ready for that. You got agents and still you got off season, but you aren't ready for all those demands. Mm. And then marriage comes, kids come. And, you aren't heard from again, you know, you're in there, but you're 20th, you don't make the cut and so forth and so on. And with football, it's the same thing, all sports. And that's essentially what he's saying, man, the demands of my time. Last year I came on, I was under the radar. Yeah, I was the second pick behind DC's Caleb Williams, but still, you know what I mean? I just got in there and worked hard. Now, I leave practice. I'm the last one to leave, but I stop off at a restaurant and I'm mobbed. I can't process my thoughts. I'm trying to analyze what happened in practice. Why I hit 6 out of 10 passes instead of 8 out of 10 passes on this particular drill. So yeah, man.
You're right. And you know, I'm someone who's actually an extrovert introvert. I mean, like I had these times, if anyone sees me, they're like, oh, you're an extrovert. And yet I have these moments where I just want to shut out the world. I don't want to talk to anyone.
Right.
Okay, and an introvert has that all the time, and I don't think people realize how difficult that is. But let me, we got the one-minute call. 1 minute call.
And we have one more person to thank as well.
Yeah, that's you.
Come on. Come on.
I'm just saying one more. I'm going to be real quick and then you can take it. Please keep the calls coming. $540 to go. 800-222-9739. You can definitely make this goal once the collision has ended. Just ask to support the collision and the representative will do the rest. We want to thank Daniel out of Bowie. He says, one of my favorite radio shows on WPFW. But honestly, I love all the shows. Always essential. Keep speaking truth to power. Thank you, Daniel. 540 to go. 800-222-9739. Although Chuck is going to end the show in a minute, keep the calls coming. We don't go off until the top of the hour, technically, and we can make this goal. $540, 800-222-9739, WPFWFM.org. Chuck and Coach.
It's the last fun drive. 800-222-9739. Be deeply, deeply appreciated. 800-222-9739. Coach, close us out.
You close us out, baby.
I'll close.
You do a street beat.
Wait, do I need to say stay frosty, folks?
Oh no! Wait, but you want a Wendy's commercial too, Katia?
I don't want to plagiarize DC. But so I'll end where we started. Be out, you bus boys and poets. Chris Small, 6 p.m. Hands off DC. Community Control and Public Safety. PACA DMV. That's at Franklin Square Park, 6 to 8:30 p.m. A couple things going on. And be on alert if there are any encampments, because it looks like the DHHS is coming for them. You could also be at the media encampment at 400 North Capitol, 10 a.m., 10 p.m. The people in the street, come join and come support.
Open up your eye while you're checking out the boombox. Check the exercise. Take the word overseer like a sample. Repeat it very quickly in a true for example. Overseer, 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 officer, 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 officer. Yeah, officer from overseer. You need a little clarity? Check the similarity.
DC Jazz Fest happens August 27th to the 31st with Branford Marsalis, Layla Hathaway, Ron Carter, the String Queens, and more, including citywide concerts from downtown to the wharf. Labor Day weekend. Details at dcjazzfest.org to get your jazz on.
Koran Dance Company celebrates its 42nd annual National African Dance and Drum Conference, coming together as one, on Labor Day weekend from Friday, August 29th to Sunday, August 31st. The conference workshops will take place at the Washington Marriott Capitol Hill and will be taught by 20-plus master dancers and drummers from Senegal, Mali, Guinea, Liberia, and the Republic of Congo. This year's concert performance will take place on Saturday, August 31st at 8 p.m. at Howard University's Crampton Auditorium and will feature guest artists from across the U.S. and Khan Karan's company and community class family. Details can be found at www.kankoran.org. That's KANKOURAN.ORG, or by calling 202-518-1213. WPFW, where we are changing the world, one broadcast and one community event at a time. I'm Jackie Lukeman, chairperson of the Black Alliance for Peace Coordinating Committee, with an editorial. Donald Trump imposed federal control of the Metropolitan Police Department and deployed the National Guard in Washington, D.C. under the pretext of public safety. This follows his March 2025 executive order establishing the Safe and Beautiful Task Force aimed at addressing crime in D.C. and after the Secure D.C. Omnibus Bill was passed, the latest in Democrat crime laws that have devastated marginalized communities, particularly Black, African, working class, and youth. Now Trump goes further and invokes law and order to justify military occupation. militarized domestic occupation that advances as the U.S. and the West deepen their support for the Zionist genocide in Gaza, while they normalize repression of the global masses struggling against and resisting them. We must confront the colonial capitalist structures and oppressive class rule that made all of this possible. We must fight Trump's authoritarianism, but we must also fight Democrat tough-on-crime criminalization of poverty and dissent. And we must fight for a future where safety is not imposed by militarization, but built through structures of popular democracy, peace, social justice, and collective liberation. The Black Alliance for Peace says, end the colonial occupation of Washington, D.C. No justice, no peace, no compromise, no retreat. The full statement can be found at blackallianceforpeace.com/BAP statements. This is